Bringing it back around one more time, you gotta know what's going on in the world around you. And if you're gonna rely on anybody to bring you the most important news in the entire world, you can count on us. We are the Decibel Geek Podcast. My name is Aaron Camaro, joined as always by my main dude right here, Chris Sinzak. And today, we're bringing you the noise, the new noise. How you doing, man?
Good. Did you notice, I don't know if you have other people talk to you about the episodes we do, I noticed that new noise was probably a bad idea for the news segment, because I get people sending me new bands, and they're like, hey, you should play this on new noise, and I'm like, no, that's fresh blood.
Oh, yeah.
Because new noise sounds like a music show. Maybe we should change that in the future, I don't know.
Maybe we should. Help us find a better name for a rock news show. And we might just pick yours, and that's what we'll call it from now on. Yeah, new noise is kind of confusing, because like radio stations would use that maybe if they ever wanted to play new music, or they probably used to. You're listening to this radio station. This is the new noise right here, the new stuff, you know? We got fresh blood.
Yeah. So, yeah, maybe we should do that in the future. But no, we got plenty of stories to cover this week. You ready to get into it?
I think so. I feel like I had a correction to make from last week, but I can't remember what it was. Maybe it'll come to me before the end.
All right. Stay tuned for late-breaking news with a correction. Well, this is very topical because the Dio Dreamers Never Die documentary has been screened in theaters this weekend, actually. Uh-huh. So, but there was, you know, a lot of people are wondering, like, why is Vivian Campbell not interviewed for this thing?
And, well, gee, I wonder.
But, you know, it was, Vivian did not have a good breakup with Ronnie. So, and for many years, those two sparred in the press about it. And Vivian also would drag Wendy into the whole thing. So it's, I think the most famous quote was Vivian saying that when Wendy was in the picture, Ronnie, she talked Ronnie into making it more about him and less of a band. And that was, I'm sure that did not go over well with Wendy. So, I don't know. I mean, I never expected Vivian to be interviewed for this thing because there was a lot of harsh feelings there.
That's probably true, though, right? Don't you think?
It probably is.
Same way Sharon was with Ozzy all them years, where she was his manager. And so she obviously, it was all about Ozzy and would screw anybody on songwriting or anything to always make sure that it's about Ozzy. It's not about the guys in the band. They're interchangeable. It's got to be Ozzy. That's the money.
Yeah.
Probably the same deal.
Yeah. And they might have used Ozzy and Sharon as a template because, I mean, it was obviously working for them.
Totally.
So why wouldn't they copy that template? You know, and he said that she didn't see Dio as a creative unit. He says Ronnie knew better, but I suspect that in an effort to win back Wendy's love, because they had split up before this, but she stayed on as his manager, that he was willing to bend to her whims. But I don't know. I mean, it's also one of those things where Ronnie James Dio was an alpha, and I also think Vivian Campbell is an alpha. And you put two alphas in a band together, it's very hard to make it work. So I think that was probably a big thing. I never expected Vivian to be a part of this documentary because Wendy's the person behind it. So it wasn't shocking to me that he wasn't involved. Obviously, he's a huge part of the Dio story because he played on those classic records, but wasn't a shock to me. I still want to see the movie. I'm assuming it'll be streaming pretty soon since it's in theaters right now, but I'm excited to see it. I've seen some amazing reviews. Even Tony Iommi was at the premiere of it this weekend and had rave reviews of it. So I'm excited to see it.
It sounds awesome. Totally does. Now you talk about Vivian Campbell and Ronnie James Dio both being alphas. Was Vinnie Vincent an alpha?
Yeah. He was the alpha of the alphas.
Yeah. Okay. I was just curious how that worked because he doesn't seem very powerful, but yet you throw him in there with Kiss and obviously Paul Stanley and Gene Simmons are alphas and all that conflict in there.
Yeah.
So I was just curious how that ranked with it. That's what made me think of who's an alpha.
Yeah.
Like we could do a show about that, like the biggest alphas in rock.
Yeah, I mean, there's several, but yeah, like Vinny was, I think I saw an interview recently with Bruce Kulick talking about Vinny, and he was like, because Bruce was kind of around the band at that time, because Bob was helping through the Killers and Creatures of the Night sessions, So he would bring Bruce down to the and Bruce actually did audition for Kiss at that time. So, but he, you know, he even said Vinny wanted to make Kiss his band, and like, you can't do that.
No. I mean,
especially after what they just went through with Peter and then Ace. Yeah. So it's not like Gene and Paul were going to relinquish control to somebody else off the street. It wasn't going to happen. So it just.
I suppose after the whole thing with Ace Frehley costing them so much money, they probably looked at each other and said, nobody else ever controls anything but us from here on out. We don't rely on nobody to make our way. Yep.
Well, and I think that's why Eric Carr got short shrift on getting a vocal, you know, through all those years. Because that was the whole thing was we're a four-wheel drive machine back through the 70s. Everybody's going to sing a song and all that. And then Eric Carr got screwed in the process because they got so overprotective of the band and who was in control. But anyway.
It's wild, man. Wild stuff.
Record time, we direct things to Kiss. But anyway, so some Judas Priest news. Richie Faulkner spoke to 96.1 KLPX radio station about the set list for the upcoming fall U.S. tour that Judas Priest is about to do. And he said, well, I can say it's around the 40th anniversary of Screaming for Vengeance.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken, I'm sure the internet will say it's not the right month yet or the right week or I'm a week late or whatever. But yeah, so we're going to hit some moments from that record as like a tip of the cap to the Screaming for Vengeance album. So I wonder what that's going to be, but he says they will reference that album in a few places. So I wonder what songs are going to wind up getting put on the set list from that album.
Well, they're all pretty good, and you'd be excited to hear just about anything off of it.
Yeah, they did do Take These Chains the last time I saw them. That was great.
That's nice. I always like it when you see a band and they bust out a surprise. Mm-hmm. Like even Spin It Back to Kiss One More Time, that last time we went and seen them in Nashville. How cool would it have been if they'd have busted out something weird out of nowhere? People would still talk about that. But, it's cool when bands like that can do it. Priest does it. We will go and see Alice Cooper, and he plays the song Pain. And it's like, what? I can't believe it. This song is so great. And I never would have guessed he'd have been playing it live that night. And that's what stands out to me about that show all those years ago. Was that he played the song I didn't expect him to play, and it was freaking awesome, and I'll never forget it. That's great when bands are able to do that, you know, and give people those memories.
Yeah, Pain is one of the best songs in his whole catalog, in my opinion.
I never would have expected to hear that song that night. And when he started it out, as soon as them first riffs hit, I was like, no freaking way.
That was a great night. That was a lot of fun. So to take things back to Ronnie James Dio, Tony Iommi was among the attendees at the premiere, like I mentioned, and he spoke to Metal Talk on the red carpet and said about his late Sabbath and Heaven and Hell bandmate, it was real sad because we were really on a roll when we'd done the debut Heaven and Hell album, The Devil You Know, when we were touring and really enjoying it, and I remember talking to Ronnie when we were in Japan. We went for dinner one night. We said, look, we're not going to say we're going to go for 5 years or whatever. We'll just try it and see where it goes. So we'd done the tour. We loved it. We enjoyed it. And then we were in this restaurant, and I said to Ronnie, do you fancy doing anything more? And he said, oh, yeah, we've got to do another album. Let's do another album and another tour. And that was the plan. That's what we were going to do. And, of course, Ronnie didn't make it, but it was going so well. We had a great time being together. We loved working together. I loved working with Ronnie. So, you know, if Ronnie had lived and you know, pulled through his health issues, there was going to be a second Heaven and Hell album.
And those Heaven and Hell albums, those songs that they came up with when they came back together, I think it was like the original thing was like Black Sabbath, Best of the Dio Years. And on that was a couple of extra tracks of new stuff they had recorded together. And one of the songs on there was one called The Devil Cried. And it's an unbelievably awesome song. And when I heard that, I was like, holy shit, man, I hope they do more. And then they came out with that album, and man, so good. I wish that they would have come out with another one. I'd have loved to have one more, because that stuff was great. Sometimes a band will come back together after all them years and get back together, and you just can't recapture the magic. But those guys, they had it all along.
Well, and I thought Heaven and Hell recaptured it better than Sabbath did doing the 13 record.
Even
Ozzy's been slagging that record a lot in the press lately, saying how he didn't feel like it was really a Sabbath record. I mean, it didn't have Bill Ward on it. How do you call that a Sabbath record?
Yeah, No, I'll definitely.
Unless it's got Vinny, you know. But, I mean, Vinny's great, don't get me wrong. But I just, the Heaven and Hell stuff I thought was way more cohesive and sounded like a real band.
Yeah, for sure. I'll take the stuff I was doing with later years Sabbath over the stuff that Ozzy did, trying to recapture that stuff, and just couldn't match it like Heaven and Hell. That stuff is so good. If you are a fan of Sabbath, Dio, any of that, and you haven't listened to Heaven and Hell, you're missing out on something awesome. I'm telling you.
Some great stuff. News about in the Tesla world, our old friend Troy Lucchetta kind of made an interesting statement in an interview recently. Says he doesn't know if he's ever going to play with Tesla again. You know, he was he kind of announced that he was going on a break right from the band. But these comments kind of make you think it might be a little longer than that. Tulsa Music Stream talked to him, and they asked if he's still taking a break from the band. He said, I am on a bit of a break. Personally, there's a lot of things going on in my life. This thing that we do doesn't cater to families. So at the time that this had gone down and COVID and everything, it just really gave me some time to step back and look at things. I've been running hard with the band for 36 years, and I love the guys, and I love the band. I'm a fan and always will be. I've got nothing but praise for them. They gave me a great life, and I think we all share in that. Right now, I'm doing a lot of different projects. I never played in any cover bands, so I went out and played in a James Taylor tribute. I went out and did some of this with Led Zeppelin tribute. I did a Van Halen thing with these friends of mine called Completely Unchained. And then I'm in a classic rock tribute, and those are some of the things. And records, I get to do a lot of records. I'm here. I like being home. And quite honestly, I just signed up. I'm doing some dates with the Guess Who right now.
Wow.
I've done half a dozen shows, and I'm having fun with the guys. I like the band. I like the guys. Good stuff. A lot of good stuff happening. So, and he had a lot of praise for Steve Brown, who is the drummer right now for Tesla. That's Mick's brother. And, I don't know. I get the vibe that Troy might be done ever playing in Tesla. He might just be over it.
Seems like it. It seems like he's pretty comfortable with what he's doing. Instead of getting on a tour and having to be gone for 3 months, he can just pick and choose his gigs here and there and do it at his leisure. That way, I'm sure it's a lot more fun and a lot less like a job.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've known Troy for a couple of years now, and even at the time he was still in the band, I think, well, we went over to his studio and we got to hear Shock before it came out, and we did an Albums Unleashed with him. But I even think at that time we kind of got the vibe that he wasn't 100% on board with continuing to do it. You know, I think he got way more jazz talking about the side projects he was doing than he did talking about Tesla. And, he's earned some time off, so, you know, I wish him the best. Tesla is good with Steve Brown playing drums. I've seen plenty of video of them with them. So he's kind of like, you know, it's the best of both worlds. I get to do my thing. They still sound great, so be it, you know. So he might not be coming back, though.
But I'm sure there's a lot of hardcore Troy Lucchetta fans out there going, where's our drummer? You know, every time Tesla goes out, just like any band that loses a member that has fans, you know, in the fan base. We love that guy, you know, whether it's maybe it's him kind of giving a blessing to say, hey, it's okay. Go like Tesla, even though I'm not there.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, I wish Troy the best. We need to get back in touch with him because, you know, he did say he would do another Albums Unleashed with us. So we probably need to look into doing one of those.
Bring him out to Rockin' Pod.
I would love to have him back at Rockin' Pod. He had a blast the last time.
Do you want to make a Rockin' Pod announcement on here? Anything you got for us?
Oh, I guess I can, right? Yeah. Since we always give the Decibel Geek listeners the news early. So, I confirmed yesterday that Jason McMaster from Dangerous Toys will be joining us at Rockin' Pod next year.
That's freaking awesome. I love that band.
Yeah, me too. And got to thank Tyson Leslie for that. Tyson's buddies with him, and also Jason's got a really cool podcast with a rock journalist named Dave Glessner called Talk Louder, and they've had some really good interviews. I just watched a cool one with them and Billy Sheehan recently, and I was like, I've always wanted to have him as a guest, and now he's doing a podcast. This just makes too much sense for him not to be a part of things, right, so sure. we're excited to have him.
That's awesome, man. Two guests. That's how it starts. More. Oh, you got more already? Well, keep them coming then.
Well, I announced Jeannie already.
Oh, did you? Oh, yeah. Okay, so that's three. Three we're up to.
I announced Rick Fox too.
That's four guests yeah. We got for Rockin' Pod now. Yeah.
I'm rolling them out slow. I've got a few things on the back burner I'm working on.
No, it's all good. We got plenty of time.
Yeah. Mark Weiss also. I was counting him.
I was counting him. Yeah.
So we're rolling. I got the pre-party venue locked in. It's a great place. We're working on things, but yeah, it's coming together. A lot of podcasts have already registered, so yeah, I've got a lot of people showing up already.
Very cool.
Some Iron Maiden news. BMG has announced the release of a commemorative triple black vinyl album in honor of the 40th anniversary of Number of the Beast.
Wow.
It's going to be pretty interesting. It says, available now officially for the first time on vinyl, it is Beast Over Hammersmith, featuring the live concert from March 1982's now legendary Hammersmith Odeon London show from the Beast on the Road World Tour, recorded only days before the release of the record. And so these are brand new songs that were getting played to a crowd for the first time. So that's kind of cool.
That is pretty cool. And I like how they come right out and tell you that the bonus tracks are live tracks. Not like the recent Guns N' Roses announcement of the Use Your Illusion 1 and 2 deluxe versions with 63 or whatever it is, unreleased tracks. And you go, holy shit. Because when it says unreleased tracks, what do you think? Demos and actual songs that were tracked that didn't maybe make it on the album. So you think, 63 Guns N' Roses songs I've never heard before? Take my money. And you get to looking at it and go, like, what are these songs? Oh, they're all unreleased live tracks of songs you've heard before.
Yeah, the price tag on that Guns N' Roses set is ridiculous. Yeah. It's like $500 or something.
Yeah, it's pretty expensive, and it's nothing you haven't heard before, except for the live tracks.
Right. Yeah, this Iron Maiden 3LP for Number of the Beast / Beast Over Hammersmith, only $60. That's not a bad deal.
That's not bad. Not bad at all.
So I wouldn't mind picking that up. That'd be kind of cool. Let's see. Enough's Enough is in the news this week. They announced their new studio album, Finer Than Sin, and they also released the first single off of it.
Oh.
It's a song called Catastrophe. Have you checked the song out yet?
This is all news to me right now. Okay. I'm getting the news. I had no idea Enough's Enough had a new album coming out. That's amazing. What's the song called?
Catastrophe.
Catastrophe. Well, you know what I'll be doing as soon as we're done here. I'll be checking that out.
It's the album Finer Than Sin comes out November 11th on Frontiers. I've checked out the song. I'm not really blown away by it personally. But then again, the last two records that Enough's Enough has put out, the singles they pick are songs that I'm not crazy about, and then I like the record later. So
yeah,
maybe I'll like the record more than I like this song. But yeah, it's still cool that there's new original Enough's Enough stuff coming out soon.
I still need to pick up that Chip's Enough solo album that came out not too long ago.
That's actually got some really good stuff on it.
I know it does.
The track listing is already out. It's Soundcheck, Catastrophe, Steal the Light, Lost and Out of Control, Intoxicated, Hurricane, Trampoline, Temporarily Disconnected, God Save the Queen, and Reprise.
Nice. Say who plays on it?
Yeah, it's Chip, Tori, Tony, and Daniel. The current touring band is who's on this record.
That's who Chip used on the last Enough's Enough album where they did the tribute to the Beatles and the Beatles members. What was the name of that? Hard Rock Night? Yeah,
Hard Rock Night.
And he used the real band, and it was freaking awesome. Musically, was amazing. So, and that's what we've always said about Enough's Enough in the modern era version of the band. Don't go out getting special studio buddies and this and that. Save that stuff for your solo albums. Enough's Enough, use the band, you know, because Enough's Enough is a band, always has been a band. So we like it when the actual band gets to play on the album, so surely this is going to be kick-ass, no doubt about it.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to hearing it. And to give Donnie a little love, I saw our friend Joey Quesada, who is, you know, mostly on Podcast Rock City, but also does a show called Top 5 with Joey Quesada. And I just found this recently, about a year ago, he had Donnie on his show to do, like, Top 5 Enough's Enough songs with him and his co-host. Nice. And it's... It's a long episode, but it's pretty interesting to hear. You get a lot of stories behind the writing of several songs on that. So check that out if you get a chance.
Right on. Was he a producer too?
Joey?
Yeah.
No, but he was in a band called, he was on a TV show called Z-Rock, and he was also in ZO2, the band that opened for Kiss, and he's also been in the wrestling world. He's done a lot of stuff.
I was going to say, that name sounds real familiar to me.
Yeah, he's a trip. I love him on Podcast Rock City, because Joe Polo will try to kind of, you know, be very in the middle and be cool, and then Joey's like, he's in the wrestling world, so, you know, like, they did a whole thing on the Sam Loomis drama with the video leaks, and Joey's like, oh, I love all this stuff. This is like a wrestling promo. So, yeah, he brought a lot of levity to the whole situation. Nice. Oh, and speaking of Sam Loomis, apparently Sam Loomis will make a reappearance on Halloween with more unreleased Kiss stuff, from what I've heard.
I love Sam Loomis. God bless Sam Loomis.
It's the greatest Kiss soap opera of all time.
He's like a Kiss superhero, you know? It's like a superhero to Kiss fans. You want to do Rockstar birthdays?
Sure.
Okay, let's see. Where did we leave off last time? Let's say, starting off on, I got a couple of different lists here. Happy birthday on the 2nd to our friends Lee Stokes and Casey Powell. Lee Stokes, longtime listener of the show, good friend of ours, Casey Powell. Got to hang out with him when we went to do the Power Slave party.
Casey's a good dude. I like him.
Super cool, man. Love that guy. On the 3rd, happy birthday to Tommy Lee. You know how old Tommy Lee is?
63.
Oh, you're overestimating him. He's turning 60 this year.
Oh, okay.
Speaking of Enough's Enough, and our favorite current Enough's Enough player, guitar player, happy birthday to Tori from Enough's Enough. Stoffergen, I believe is how it's pronounced. Is that pretty good?
I think you got it right.
Yeah, yeah. See, that's that Wisconsin in me. Sometimes I can hit it just right. Love last names like that. And love Tori, man. Awesome guitar player. Super player. Cool dude.
Yep.
Been nice to us every time we ever got to talk to him. Love it. This guy right here. Got a birthday coming up on the 8th. Left us an awesome review just not too long ago on the Decibel Geek podcast. Metal Mike Tyler celebrating a birthday on the 8th. Then we got our old buddy Chrissy Salem. Remember Chrissy Salem?
How could I forget?
That guy is amazing. He's got a birthday coming up on the 10th. David Stonich.
Onich.
Got a birthday on the 10th. Happy birthday, David. David's awesome. He set us up with that John Corabi interview all them years ago and sat right there with us while we did it the whole time.
Yep.
Love that guy.
We all went drink for drink with John Corabi and lived to regret it.
I don't regret it. We lived to tell the tale.
It was a great episode, but God, I was hungover the day after that interview.
It was awesome. So awesome. Let's see. On the 12th, wishing a happy birthday to our awesome friend Christine Perry. If you've been to Rockin' Pod, you know Christine.
Yeah, I just went to her birthday party last night.
Yeah, it's very cool, man. She's awesome. And that's about all I got, man. Like I said, this birthday thing is kind of an evolving deal because I got to add birthdays to the list, and it's just kind of a random thing. Within like a couple of years, I'll have it down. I'll know everybody's birthday. Well, but we got to remember the people that we lost, people you got to remember this week. Back in 2017, on the 2nd, we lost Tom Petty.
Yeah. A
couple of years ago now. It doesn't seem like it's been that long. If you're a fan of the Cars, you want to remember Benjamin Orr, passed away on the 3rd in 2000. You want to go way back, one of the 27s, the 27 Club members, on the 4th, Janis Joplin, back in 1970. Here's a guy that lasted quite a bit longer than her, Ginger Baker. Made it to 2019, passed away on the 6th. He shares a death remembrance day from 2020, Eddie Van Halen. Mm. The anniversary comes around again.
Yeah, we're almost there again. Wow.
That's always going to be one of the toughest ones.
That's one of those you'll never forget where you were when you heard the news thing.
Yeah, definitely. Death day on the 9th, Marilyn Manson fans remembering Gidget Gein, who passed away in 2008. On the 10th, we'll always remember this lady, Jan Kuhnemund, who passed away in 2013. A guest on the show.
Yeah, one of our first big interviews.
Yeah, that was in the first 100.
Yep.
And she was so cool and she was so awesome. And, you know, it was a good interview, you know, and we just talked to her like a regular person. And I think she really kind of helped guide us a little bit on how to really do a quote interview, you know.
we were kind of fumbling around trying to figure out what we were doing, but she was she was a great sport with it, and she had, and we had a great time with her.
Yeah,
Aaron gave her a pep talk at the end of the interview. I remember that.
It was fun, man. Yeah. I really enjoyed talking to her. It made me really sad when she passed away, and like I said, that wasn't too long after, you know, a couple of years after we'd spoken to her. I wish I could have talked to her again. She was really cool. And that's what we got for coming up on Death Days. And got to remember these people because they're all legends and you don't want to let them be forgotten. As far as records coming out, man, I don't know. I lost track. But here's what I found out. I went to the CD warehouse the other day and I realized, oh, the new Slipknot is out. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go ahead and pick that up because I want to, you know, I want to... Sometimes I want to get into heavy music, you know. I get in the mood for some Pantera and some old Metallica and stuff like that. But I kind of want to broaden it out a little bit. Catching Hatebreed live with Anthrax.
Yeah, they were great.
I always kind of liked Hatebreed, but then after that show, I was really kind of deep-dived into them a little more. As far as heavy, heavy music goes, that stuff is so good. So I wanted to check out the new Slipknot album. But while I'm walking in there, I realize... Holy shit, there's a new Dead Daisies album out. I didn't even know it.
What, Holy Ground?
No, not Holy Ground. That was last year, back in September. They've already got a new album out. It's called Radiance. And
I didn't even know this.
I didn't either. I didn't know nothing about it. It's like, surprise, if you walk into a record store that still sells new albums and new CDs, here's a Dead Daisies album you didn't know about. I said, holy shit, you know, and I bought it. And the other one I got that I was kind of excited and pretty surprised to see was that Pat Travers has got a new album out. The old snorting whiskey guy.
Mark Alden Taylor?
Not the guy that actually snorts the whiskey. The guy that wrote the song that inspired the greatness.
Right.
Or the madness. I'm not sure which. We'll find out at Rockin' Pod, maybe. but he's got a new album out called The Art of Time Travel. And, you know, Pat Travers is freaking awesome. I didn't really know a whole lot about him until we started doing this show. And people would say, you know, do you ever listen to Pat Travers? You know, I said, no, not really. And I got a hold of one of his albums, one of the old school ones. And I was like, man, this cooks. You know, it's kind of bluesy, but it's heavy. And he's a decent singer and he does... like cool, he'll take like old time blues songs and like make them like almost blues metal songs. It's badass, man. I really like that guy. And I didn't get a chance to check that out yet or the new Slipknot because the very first thing I listened to was the Dead Daisies and it is killer. The whole thing is really good. There's a song on here called Cascade that is out of this world, man. It's got a really cooking riff to it. So I don't have the future for you. I do know Ugly Kid Joe's coming out on the 21st. That's a little ways down the line. Otherwise, we'll check back next week. I'll try to get it together a little bit better than that.
That's cool. Can I share a couple things I bought recently?
Yeah, please.
So I went to McKay last weekend. I had to go help my mom with her internet. She was having a lot of trouble with it, so I did the best I could. Because now, you know, you realize you're getting older when your mom calls you to help with something technical, and you're just as dumbfounded as she is by it. We got it figured out, though. But I went to McKay, and my God, the vinyl pricing at McKay has gotten out of hand. The prices are insane. Like, stuff I would pay $4 for is now $20. So I didn't buy any vinyl, but I've also gotten back into DVD collecting, like, you know, music DVDs. So I picked up a few things. I got Anvil, The Story of Anvil.
Right on.
I got Kurt and Courtney, the documentary about Kurt Cobain.
Oh, I have seen that.
I got the Alice Cooper Welcome to My Nightmare.
Nice.
The TV special. That's on DVD. I got that for $10. And then I got this, and I know this is not our audience, but it's if you like rock documentaries, this might be the mother of them all. I got the History of the Eagles, the three-disc set.
Wild.
Now, the reason I got this is it's like the most well-made music documentary of all time. Even if you're not an Eagles fan, you'll like it. And they took it off streaming. You can't find it anywhere. So I was like, $18, I'll just buy the damn thing.
That's the thing about physical product. You know, you could be watching something that you love to watch all the time that's streaming on one of your favorite platforms, and then one day, it's gone, you know?
Yep.
If you don't have the physical product, you're reliant on other entities when you could be relying on yourself.
Yeah, and then the last thing I bought, $3, Joey Kramer Hit Hard, his autobiography, drummer from Aerosmith.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I figured, and forward by Nikki Sixx, but I figured $3 for Joey Kramer's biography, why not, you know?
That's pretty cool.
So, yeah, that's some good stuff there.
Speaking of McKay's, I want to ask you about something. Have you ever heard of a band called Bang Gang?
Sounds familiar.
Yeah, it's like an 80s-style band. I think it came out in like 90. I found this at McKay's. It was $14. But it deceived me because it was mixed in over with the cheap CDs. So when I saw it, I was like, I know that's something. It's something weird, rare. And I grabbed it. I pulled it out hoping it was going to be like 99 cents, and it was $15. And I said, shit, I know this is something weird and rare that's going to be right in the Decibel Geek wheelhouse of stuff that we like.
All right.
And so I bit the bullet, and I got it. And then when I got home and I looked it up, it's selling on eBay for like $45. But wow. it's like this Sunset Strip band coming out in the 90s. You know, one of those ones that were around just enough to put out an album and then kind of went away. So I'll be interested in check that one out. How about this one? How about Bo Nasty? Do you know about Bo Nasty?
No, I've never heard of Bo Nasty.
Okay. Well, this is stuff that I might be bringing up someday on a Radio Sucks radio show. Bo Nasty is another one, kind of a Sunset Strip style band coming out in the 90s. I think they only had one album, but they're actually, I listen to it. It's not bad. It's not bad.
Cool.
So that's what I know about that. That's your new music update.
Okay.
Stuff that's new to us.
Get through these last few stories, and then we'll get out of here. Motley Crue, Nikki Sixx and Tommy Lee were two of the many people involved in the second Taylor Hawkins tribute concert that took place at the LA Forum recently. Did you see the footage of this?
I did not.
Well, it was kind of interesting because Dave Grohl announced them as Motley Crue, and I'm like, all four of them are coming out? But it wasn't. It was just Nikki and Tommy, but they had Derek Day singing for them, he's the singer for Classless Act.
Okay.
That was the opening band on the stadium tour.
Yeah.
And managed by the same company that manages Motley Crue. So I was like, I don't know if you want to take that as a sign that Vince is out or anything. I doubt it.
No, I would just take that as a thing that, you know, Motley Crue is trying to make money off of this band too, trying to help, you know, bring them up. You know, bring them with.
But they did. They did Live Wire with him, which was really good. And the kid doesn't really hit the high notes, but neither does Vince. And he actually was a little bit more fun to watch than Vince. So it was. They did Live Wire, and then they followed it up with Home Sweet Home, and it was cool to see
who played guitar.
Kind of interesting. Who did play guitar? I'll have to look. It wasn't any of them. It was somebody. I think Chris Shiflett from Foo Fighters played guitar.
That's cool.
He actually did a great job on the Home Sweet Home solo. He had the whole feel that Mick had and everything on it. It was pretty great.
That's awesome. So
that was a lot of fun.
Pretty cool.
And then also, I saw you added Sebastian Bach on here. There was we should touch on this because there was an interesting couple of Sabbath songs performed with Sebastian and Geezer Butler and Lars Ulrich on drums, right?
Sounded cool, man.
Yeah, it sounded good, but then Sebastian had to be Sebastian as they were walking off the stage.
What the hell, man? You're at the Taylor Hawkins tribute. Let's hear it for Taylor Hawkins. Crowd cheers. That's cool. You know, that's great. Keep walking. No, wait. Let's hear it for Dave Grohl. Well, okay, Dave Grohl, you know, Foo Fighters put this whole thing together. That's awesome. Let's hear it for him. So he cheers for him. And you stop and you go, wait a minute, there's one more person.
Most importantly.
Most importantly, let's hear it for me.
Oh.
Sebastian Bach. What the fuck?
There's the thing about knowing the room, and he doesn't have that.
And no.
It came off so douchey.
Yeah. It's like,
don't be that guy. You know, I just... He's an overgrown teenager. Sebastian is an amazing performer. He did great on the songs. But he just... God, he gets in his own way all the time. And it's just like, man, you're just an asshole. I'm sorry.
It sucks. It sucks to see somebody so talented and awesome just kind of blow it all the time. And you want to say, man, you know, it's the Vinnie Vincent syndrome. Well, you know, I mean, I wish we could help that guy, you know. But you don't want to. You don't get caught up in none of that. Stay far away if you can.
Well, and he's not very self-aware because, like, even on Instagram, actually today, he posts a video of an old interview with Dave Grohl and Taylor Hawkins talking about Sebastian and Tommy Lee and how, like, their whole vocabulary is the word dude or fuck. And they were like, that's all they ever say is dude or fuck. You could take interviews and just have a whole compilation. They're basically making fun of Tommy Lee and Sebastian Bach. And Sebastian reposts it and is like, dude, fuck. And it's like, they weren't complimenting you.
Yeah.
Like, I don't get him sometimes. I was like, okay, well, I'm sure Sebastian seems like a guy that would be fun to party with for one night. But if you had to go out on tour with him in a band, no, not so much.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think he would get on your nerves after a few hours.
Yeah, I'm afraid so. Or would do something to cause people to fight you all the time. You know, you'd always be breaking up fights. Like, if you were Sebastian Bach's best friend, I imagine it's a life of not saying what's on your mind and also breaking up fights all the time or getting pulled into fights you have nothing to do with.
Yeah, I don't know. Sebastian is going to... He always lives up to his reputation, it seems like.
A lot of, why did you do that?
Yeah.
Ah. But
so be it. We still have the music, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. I was just listening to some Sebastian Bach the other day, the Angel Down album.
Yep, I love that record.
Fucking masterpiece.
That record is in league with the first two Skid Row records. I don't care what anyone says.
I agree with that.
All right, so here's the story that this one kind of set the internet on fire, and I think Eddie Trunk had something to do with that because he bitched about it too, but I don't disagree with him. Falling in Reverse, which it's funny, this is a band that my teenage stepdaughter was really into in high school. They have been criticized for pulling out of this year's Will Rock Festival over their laptops going missing. And let me read the quote. The singer Ronnie Radke, who also has quite a checkered past as well, he did a video and he says, "Will Rock, I regret to inform you that we have to cancel and we have no other option. I'm sorry. And I never make videos like this, but I feel I owe it to you guys. So we show up to rehearsal, only plan to rehearse one time because we just got off tour. We don't need to rehearse that much." Not a great thing to say. "And we walk into rehearsals and our laptops are missing that we run all of our show on and stuff. And as a band in 2022, you need your laptops. It's like driving a car without an engine. It's really unfortunate. Supposedly they are lost. Blame it on our crew, I guess. Not another bad move. I don't know how that happened. That's never happened before. I'm pretty upset about it. They are brand new laptops, and I'll see you guys at Aftershock in Sacramento on October 2nd. Oh, man. Where do we start with this?
Well, I mean, the initial first reaction has got to be, what kind of band can't play without the help of laptops? You know, that's the metal. Exactly. That's the metal hard rocking thing to think and say. But then you break it down just a little bit further than that, and you go, well, in 2022, to make your show as efficient as possible, you could use laptops to help you time everything out, you know, but do you really need them to the effect that if you don't have them, you can't perform? I don't know, man. That seems a little cheaty, a little, I guess. I don't know. Cheap, maybe?
I guess we should give him credit for being honest.
True.
Even if it's to a fault. Really, I mean, it's bad enough that you're admitting that you can't do your show without a fucking laptop, but it's even worse that you're putting the blame on your crew. Like, I don't think their crew probably took too kindly to him saying that.
Probably
not. If
I'm
in the crew, I'm like, fuck you guys. But yeah, it's not like a big shocker that some of these newer bands are using laptops to supplement their sound. And I get it. We're in a different age, and this is also Aaron and I being get-off-our-lawn old guys. But at the same time, it's one of those things, like, if you don't have the goods and you can't do it without a laptop, what are you doing up there?
Right.
I mean, there used to be a time when you would get mocked mercilessly for this type of stuff. But now it's just the status quo. You use laptops, you supplement your sound with all... And not that... I mean, hell, you know, our late dear departed friend Gary Corbett used to support Kiss with, you know, supplemental background vocals, and so it's been going on for a long time, but I don't think Kiss would have canceled a show if Gary couldn't show up.
Yeah, man, Millie and Vanilli are rolling in their graves.
Yeah, I know. God, boy, did those guys get the raw end of the deal, didn't they?
I mean, if only they'd have known, they'd have said, no, you can't take our Grammys away, because in just a few years, none of this is going to matter. Everybody's going to be lip syncing. Everybody's going to rely on technology to do everything for them. What we're doing is perfectly fine in just like 10 years.
Like, it goes back to that old saying, just because you can doesn't mean you should.
Yeah, there you go. That's the truth.
Like, yeah, there's technology out there that'll help you and carry right. you along, but at the same time, you know, didn't you start playing music because you wanted to play music?
Yeah.
Or, I don't know.
I forget who was telling me. One of these old rockers was telling me, I think at Rockin' Pod, was telling a story about how these young guys are talking about their new album and this and that, and they're playing it, and it sounds pretty cool, and he's like, that's really cool, guys. When are you going to go play it live? And they were like, what? No, we yeah, just like, created we this in our bedroom, you know, where we don't go play it live. You know, they just take parts of guitars and piece it all together. And you can make a perfect song with no mistakes.
Sure.
Hey, guys, when are you going to go play it live? What? No way, man.
Yeah.
Not happening.
I don't understand the times we're living yeah. in, and maybe it's just our age. I don't know. But, Wednesday 13 in the news, he blasts AC Slade yeah. in the Murder Dolls dispute. So AC Slade, I guess, is putting out, or he wants to celebrate the 20th anniversary of the Beyond the Valley of the Murder Dolls right. album, and he was going to do a live stream event and I think sell merch and yeah. stuff, and Wednesday 13 is pretty pissed off about it, apparently.
Well, I mean, there's two things in this story, and I've been kind of keeping up with this a little bit because I'm a huge Wednesday 13 fan, and I'm a big fan of the Murder Dolls, and that was my introduction yeah. to Wednesday 13 was the Murder Dolls way back in the day. And, you know, the Murder Dolls were created by Joey Jordison from Slipknot.
Right.
Brought on Wednesday 13, and the two of them basically were the Murder Dolls. And so they got these other guys, got AC Slade, and I just off the top of my head, I can't remember the name of the other guy, but he's kind of involved in this too with AC Slade, that they were going to put that album out, Beyond the Valley of the Murder Dolls. But it was Wednesday 13 and Joey Jordison's band, mostly. And so they go out on tour, they take these guys with, they're basically tour guys, but they're, you know, parts of the band. Years later, I guess, Murder Dolls is long gone. Joey's gone back to Slipknot. We'd end up losing him not too long after that. Murder Dolls put out two albums. I think the second one, it was just Joey and Wednesday 13. Like, those were the only two guys credited on it. And he forgets about it, I guess. You know, doesn't realize that Murder Dolls still has value, and lets the trademark slip, I guess, from what I understand. And when he yeah. does that, AC Slade sees it, or happens to be looking at that same time. Hey, I wonder if that Murder Dolls is available, if anybody's kept up on that. oh, it is available, I'll take it. So while technically it's not cool, because, I mean, it should be a thing where they're all getting together to honor Joey Jordison and the anniversary of that Kick-Ass album, which I love, would be the ideal thing for it to be, but it's not going to be that because Wednesday 13's not going to have anything to do with it. He thinks it sucks that they're selling Murder Dolls merchandise, when on the other hand, legally, they have the right to do it.
I mean, AC can do it, but I also see Wednesday's point on this thing, because like, it was pretty much Joey and Wednesday that did the record. Right. Trip Eisen.
That's right. That's the guy I was thinking of.
He plays a little bit on it, but not even that much. Like, he plays solos on some of the song, not even all of the songs. And then AC was part of the touring lineup. Yeah. So it's technically, he wasn't really a member of the band when the album got recorded. So, I mean, to me, it's I don't have a problem with AC Slade trying to make a buck, but it screams of him just trying to make a buck off of something that he was kind of involved in just on the touring side.
So it'd kind of be like, and if for some crazy reason Kiss let the trademark slip on Hotter Than Hell, Vinnie Vincent notices it, buys the trademark, and then is having a Vinnie Vincent celebration of the whatever anniversary of Hotter Than Hell. Right?
Yeah, it'd be kind of weird.
Kind of weird. But if he was the only one that saw the value in the Murder Dolls name and brand and was able to get it, you can't really fault him for that. That's pretty slick. And if nobody else is doing anything to remember that great album and that great band, it's cool for the fans to be able to go to something like that. Because if you're a hardcore Murder Dolls fan, you're probably going to want to go to that. You know, because those guys, even though their contributions were pretty minimal, in the pictures and the magazines and all that, it was all of them. So when you look at the Murder Dolls back then, it wasn't even pitched as this is a two-man project. It, even in the album, it looked like it was a band.
Right.
So
yeah, I mean, well, you can't blame the fans for wanting to have something from this. So I get that, but I think the big rub here is between AC and Wednesday. But, I mean, who knows? I guess AC legally can do all this stuff. If he jumped on that trademark, then, you know, more power to you. But it's interesting seeing these guys kind of talk smack to each other in the press about it.
I think maybe it could have been different, possibly, if AC would have got the trademark and then went, before saying anything to anybody else, going immediately to Wednesday 13 and going, hey, I noticed that it slipped. I grabbed it up. Is there anything you want to do together? Is there anything we can do to honor this? I don't worry about nothing. I got the trademark on it. But instead, I mean, I guess you kind of know the outcome already, what it's going to be. So you just kind of do it knowing that no matter what happens, Wednesday is going to be pissed because Joey Jordison's not here to be a part of it. And Wednesday 13 don't want to be a part of it.
No, I mean, he's got his own thing going on.
Yeah, for sure.
And I mean, and without Joey Jordison, is it really worth even doing? I don't know. I mean, he was pretty integral to that whole project. So are we really arguing about big bucks here? It's a pretty limited audience anyway.
And that's why probably nobody was paying attention to that name. Me, myself, I love the Murder Dolls, and that's another band I wish we could have got one more album from before it all ended. But anything Murder Dolls going forward, if it's new music, it's not really Murder Dolls in any possible way. But to remember the band and honor the name, you know, as long as they're not disparaging it, which obviously they won't be, fans like it, have fun with it. But it does kind of suck for Wednesday 13, too. I definitely see his side of it.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. This is just a quick story. I want to give props to this guy because he's kind of a local here. Brett Carlisle, he's in a band out of Birmingham, Alabama, called All or Nothing, and he's friendly with a lot of people that are kind of in our circle. Yeah. He got the big call up to the show and got to fill in as singer for Great White recently at a few shows in Las Vegas, and because Andrew Freeman had previous commitments with Last in Line. And normally this wouldn't be much of a story, but if you've watched the video of Brett singing for them, This is about as close to Jack Russell as they've ever gotten with any of the replacement singers. And honestly, I think he blew Andrew Freeman right off the stage.
Yeah, I've seen the videos. I agree with you. I think this guy was great. I mean, you know, when you're getting other singers that are well known for different projects before they come to you, we talk about this with the Dead Daisies. When John Corabi joins the Dead Daisies, guess what? Doesn't matter how good they are, they become the John Corabi band. So then when Glenn Hughes joins them, same thing. Doesn't matter how good they are, they automatically become the Glenn Hughes band because that's what you get with a powerful, well-known singer. All this time, these guys have been getting their Mitch Malloys and their Terry Luces and guys like that. Guys are well-known for other things, Andrew Freeman. And so when you've got a strong singer join your band, they're never going to try to be like, okay, you want me to sound like Jack Russell? I'm going to change my style to sound like Jack Russell so that your band can be the best that it can be. No, these guys are already known for their own voices, so they're not going to change to try to fit what it should be. Now you got Brett Carlisle here. He's a young dude. He knows what to do. I'm going to go in here. I'm going to try to sound my best to be like Jack Russell, to give an authentic Great White experience. And doesn't have the ego to say, oh, well, I'm from this band, so I'm going to sing my way, and that's just the way it is, and your songs will adapt to me. This kid actually adapted to the songs, and you're right. Hey. This guy is the best singer they've had since Jack Russell.
It's Jack.
I'm just going to put it out there.
Yeah, and I saw him at Bowie's last night. He was at Christine's party, and I was real quick with him. I just said, congrats on... you know, doing the shows with Great White. And I said, are you gonna be the guy? And he's like, oh, I can't say anything. And he's like, but, you know, we might do one more show together. But then after that, I don't know. But, I mean, the kid's 25. I mean, and he's got his own band. Yeah. All or Nothing's doing pretty well for themselves. So I don't know that he even wants the gig. But there's been a lot of chatter online of people going, well, just let Andrew Freeman continue to do Last in Line and hire this kid. So yeah. I don't know. Who knows? I'd still love to see Jack in the band, but I don't think that's ever going to happen. So, you know, maybe we'll see if something happen with this kid.
I'd like to check out his other band, too. Maybe coming up on a Fresh Blood or something, we can feature them.
Yeah, they've been building a good audience over the last couple of years. So it's cool to see them, you know, making waves. But, no, it was just cool to see him kind of get thrust into the spotlight to do these shows with Great White. So I'm very happy for him. It was a good opportunity for him.
Yeah, and happy for Great White, too, to finally find a singer that matches what you're doing and what you've been all these years.
Yeah.
I kind of like it.
Next story, Metallica's doing something really cool here. You know, John Zazula from Megaforce passed away not too long ago.
Yeah, not too long after losing his wife.
Yeah, Marcia passed away not too long before, not, you know, pretty much before that. And Metallica is going to do a really cool thing. They're going to do a special show at the Hard Rock Live in Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Hollywood, Florida on Sunday, November 6th. And they're going to do a full show kind of in benefit to remember them. It's a 7,000 seater. And if you're a member of the Metallica fan club, you'll have early access. Well, that's already happened. September 28th is when tickets went on sale. But a portion of the proceeds are going to be donated in Johnny and Marcia's name to Music Cares, which is a very important charity in the music community.
Yeah.
And All Within My Hands, with Metallica's charity, will once again be supporting Feeding South Florida with a donation.
That's awesome. They need it right now.
And I think Raven's opening this show. Yeah,
oh, yeah,
Raven's
going to
be the opener.
Freaking awesome, man. I love to see it when a band that's super popular will give it back to a band who influenced them.
Yeah. Yeah, because Raven took Metallica out on their first big tour back in the early 80s. So it's cool that, you know, it's nice that these guys remember where they came from and they're doing something to pay tribute to Johnny and Marcia, who helped, you know, very integral part of Metallica's early years. So. And then Raven, of course, taking them out on tour. So I'm really happy for Raven and everybody involved. And it's cool that Metallica's doing, although I heard ticket prices are insanely high for this thing.
Oh, I'm sure. But you can feel good about yourself because it's going to a good cause.
Yeah.
And you're getting to see something awesome. I wonder if they're going to do anything special, like play all early stuff.
I hope so. Metallica's good about that, where the, you know, certain special occasions, they will mix set lists up and do that stuff. So I'm happy for that. I can't wait to see video from it because I certainly can't afford to go down to Florida to see it.
Right.
But I'm sure it'll wind up on YouTube in no time. A couple more stories. Wasp have announced they're offering their first ever VIP meet and greet packages on the upcoming U.S. leg of the 40 Years Live World Tour. VIP meet and greet packages are available for all dates on the U.S. tour, including shows that are already sold out. This thing is like $300.
Wow.
It's in addition to meeting Blackie and getting a personal photo with him, fans will also be able to get a photo holding Blackie's original BC Rich Widow bass guitar. Nice. and get a photo standing next to Elvis, Blackie's incredibly unique and one-of-a-kind microphone stand.
I want to climb up on top of it.
Yeah. The damn thing weighs like 400
pounds. That's crazy.
The microphone stand's heavy, too. anyway. Hit the rim shot. But now, interesting that he's doing this, cause, and all the response I read is, Blackie does not seem like a meet-and-greet kind of guy.
No, I can't imagine that.
And there's people predicting that he will cancel the meet and greets on this
tour when they
start selling. Yeah. Like, he doesn't like dealing with
like
human
three
beings.
Three strikes for stupid questions, and this thing is over. It's like something somebody talked him into. Like, you really got to, you know, capitalize on this. That's where people, bands, you know, well-known people are making money, you know, and you've never done nothing like this. No one, your fans have never had an opportunity to really meet you like this, you know. You got to do it. Oh, fuck, I don't want to. You got to. That's where the money's at. Three strikes. Three stupid questions. It's over. 10 minutes later, he's like, I'm done.
I don't know. We'll see. And I did see an interview with Chris Holmes recently where...
I was just going to bring that up.
Yeah, where he was talking about Blackie.
That'll be the first question from somebody. Hey, Blackie, did you hear that Chris Holmes said you should change the name of the song to Fuck Like a Priest?
Yeah, I thought that was funny.
I'm done. I'm out.
Yeah. I thought that was pretty well played by Chris.
Pretty funny. That guy. I'd like to meet Chris Holmes. He's a funny dude.
Yeah, me too. All right, we got one more left today. Dave Mustaine is still hoping to write new music with James Hetfield, and the quote was, "The world really does want us to do that." In a new interview with Vinyl Writer Music, Mustaine said that he has been secretly hoping there'd be a day where he could write music again with James Hetfield. He says, "I think the world wants us to do it. I think there is a pretty good possibility of it happening down the line. I do think it's possible that one day James is going to come around and that he and I are going to be able to do something together again. I guess that's one of the things that's always kept me pushing forward. I think it'd be good for Megadeth, and it could be great for Metallica, too."
Is Ron McGovern still around?
Oh, Ron McGovney.
Ron McGovney, yeah.
Yeah,
is he
is.
Still alive?
Yeah.
Well, there you go. There you go. You get Lars, you get James, you get Ron, you get Dave. Put out a new album together. Call it something completely different.
Yeah, we'll see.
Metallica Death.
We'll see what happens.
Megatallica.
I mean, Hetfield has kind of laughed off this idea in the past in interviews, so I don't know. But, I mean, it would be cool to hear. I mean, I love the new Megadeth album, and I love Metallica's Hardwired, so it would be interesting to hear if those two guys got in a room together and tried to hash it out and do a song. I'd be game to hear it for sure.
Big news in the Metallica and Megadeth Hard Thrash world today. Murder suicide in the studio.
They didn't even get through like the first verse, and then they murdered each other.
Yeah.
But not, you know, I'll take that as a pie in the sky idea that will probably never take place, but we can dream.
Yeah, I've never even considered that as an idea because it just doesn't sound like something that would ever happen.
I don't think.
But in a world of never say never. It could. I mean, they're all still alive. It could happen.
It would take those guys having a serious talk with each other. Because even in the Some Kind of Monster documentary, where you know Metallica's kind of trying to deal with all their past demons and stuff, you know, the person that met with Dave Mustaine was Lars. You know, it wasn't James. So like, James wouldn't even meet him at that time. So who knows if they would actually get together and talk.
Scared he's going to start karateing him again right away.
All right.
Remember this move? Quacha!
Yeah. But yeah, who knows? Maybe it will happen. That would be an album that would sell if those two got together and did some stuff together.
That would be something.
That's all I got for New Noise this week.
A little something to fantasize on until the next time. All right, there you have it. That's New Noise. Like we said, we're looking for a new name. Help us find one, a good name for a rockin' news show that isn't so confusing.
Thanks. Yeah.
We might just use it if you give us a good one. Yeah, so I guess that's it. And we will see you, what, episode 500?
That's right.
Holy shit.
We have a lot to look back on.
See you then.
See ya.